Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
It's Monday.
It's September 7th.
And the word of the day is Belphegor, one of the seven principles of hell. Used in a sentence, the number made of 1 plus 13 zeros, then 666, then 13 more zeros, then 1 is called Belphegor's prime. And it's both a prime number and a numeric palindrome.
Huh. Well, you know what they say in show business, always start them with a little math.
And end them in the lake of fire, baby.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I'm Noah Illusions.
I'm Eli Bosnick.
I'm Heath Enright. And broadcasting delayed from America's Far Center, we are the Skepocrats.
On this week's episode, Trump limits mail-in voting to whites-only envelopes.
We learn how to join the FBI just by drawing the turtle on the matchbox.
And bad video game design flips Noah to a solid Democrat.
Fine. I'm so pissed. I am so pissed.
But first, the rest of the intro music.
Joining me for headlines tonight are my fellow skeptic rats, Noah Illusions and Eli Bosnick. Gentlemen, 57 days until the election. You feeling good about it? You feeling good about American democracy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They left the last one on such a cliffhanger.
Yeah, what's going to happen?
I actually don't think that's this year, Heath. They do one every 4 years.
I will.
Every four is
fill
how often
you
it is.
With my hands. In our lead story tonight. In going postal on democracy news, we have a story about elections and the mail. But first, I want to talk about shitting on the floor.
Heath is violating the NDA. Violating it.
Just
not yet.
Stay with me. When some guy, whoever that might be, takes a giant shit in the middle of your house and doesn't get in trouble for that, he's going to take another giant shit on your floor again. And he's definitely going to take more shits in other parts of the house, too. It's not clear why you keep inviting him in, but half the country is fucking stupid and they're allowed to vote. So that's how that works.
So how was Morgan's visit, Keith?
He apparently let you in, too. I don't like it. So, okay, in this very subtle metaphor that I'm doing, the shitter guy is the president of the United States and the house is American democracy. One of the giant shits, of course, was inciting an insurrection to overthrow an election and American democracy. Other piles include sending spies to steal voting records from Georgia and picking a Supreme Court that declares the end of racism and guts the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and legalizes gerrymandering. And the latest pile is weaponizing fucking Newman from Seinfeld to block mail-in ballots in hopes of suppressing votes by, in particular, his opponents.
But at least we have this amazing view from the high road. Am I right, everybody? Huh?
Loving it.
Yeah, I saw somebody arguing that we shouldn't expand the court next time we're in power because then they just expand the court when they were in power. And I'm like, okay, so like either half the time we could have a functional court or none of the time we could. I don't know what your argument is here.
Half bad or all bad? Hard
it's
to
tricky.
Say.
It's impossible to choose
really
between
them. So the initial attempt at cheating by using the Postal Service was an executive order in March consisting of three main provisions. One, it told the Department of Homeland Security to make a list of citizens and send the list to every U.S. state. Now, every state already has that list of their own, and the state lists are more accurate than whatever list a guy named Mark Wayne, all one word, would come up with in a few months. Like, okay, I don't know many things, but I know for sure that a spreadsheet made by Eli Bosnick or anybody named Mark Wayne is not a correct spreadsheet or database
true.
Or list.
These things are true. These are true.
Two, the EO told the Justice Department to pregame some prosecutions against any state officials who might send ballots to people that Mark Wayne conveniently left off his list. So, you know, just like get in a pre-prosecution posture and do the haka or something like that. I guess that's number two. And three, the EO told every state to send their gross, miscegenated list of citizens to the U.S. Postal Service, and it told the Postal Service to refuse to deliver any ballots for people who aren't on Mark Wayne's list.
Yeah, we'll decide who gets to vote is like the foundational reason to overthrow a government, right? It's the example you give before the examples get more complex, right?
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, it's usually being screamed over top of more calmly stated solutions that might actually help, but yes.
Well, yeah, so that was a very obvious attempt at cheating and clearly unconstitutional. So a group of 23 states, DC as well, challenged the EO in court. Their argument was mostly just, here's a copy of Article 1 of the Constitution mm-hmm. where it says yeah. that states determine how their elections work. And a federal judge, Indira Talwani, was like, yep, Constitution, gavel, this could have been an email, but there you go, gavel. And she blocked the implementation of the EO. Of course, there's a panel of six liars and three sane people that can overrule anything. So the Trump administration went to the Supreme Court. SCOTUS ruled that we're punting. That was their first ruling on this. They said that 23 states and DC who want constitutional democracy haven't been harmed yet. Like right now, it's just the entire executive branch doing the haka, getting ready to cheat. So it doesn't count yet. So they're not ruling.
Yeah. And for those of you keeping track at home, this will be the second the Republicans get to cheat at this election, but just this once ruling in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. So,
this
you know,
yeah. pattern now.
Well, and that's not counting all the Republicans get to cheat at elections just from now on shit that we got by dismantling the Voting Rights Act.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was stupid. And the pre-crime dance was still going, so Judge Talwani issued a temporary restraining order against doing the obviously unconstitutional stuff. And then once again, Trump's legal team was back at the Supreme Court. On Thursday, Solicitor General John Sauer, who appears to be doing like an impression of RFK Jr. a lot of the time, he argued that nobody's trying to, you know, very obviously steal democracy. Nobody's trying to do that. All they want is, quote, modest envelope design and addressee information requirements for federal election ballots. That's it. And Sauer gave a couple examples of this being totally normal. The Postal Service imposed modest requirements on the mailing of cremated remains and replica explosives. So,
okay.
So it's just like that totally normal thing that's already happened.
Wait. Are you saying that the envelope I handmade for my remains with my tasteful nudes on it might be rejected? Because now I'm upset. Okay?
Right?
Now I'm
mad. Yeah, and think about how bad that fucks up Don Ford's Christmas list.
Exactly. Thank you.
And just to be clear, it's way more than envelope format.
Yeah.
The administration wants the USPS to refuse to deliver ballots in any of the states that don't give their list of citizens to Mark Wayne. And they also want the USPS to refuse acceptance of filled out ballots if the envelope doesn't comply with whatever new standards. It seems to me like you could just put your ballot envelope inside a larger envelope and send it. And it would be a federal crime for anyone to look inside before it's delivered. But I don't know, that might fuck up the process. And I don't know how any of the laws are going to shake out. And that's the whole fucking point of this. Even if Trump doesn't get the ruling he wants, he's already corrupting the mail-in voting system with a bunch of doubt.
Yeah, it's like he's doing the what's in my pocket riddle from The Hobbit, but if he can't guess, he wins.
Yeah, well, a lot of people seem to think that we can solve this by going, well, I guess we're just all going to have to go to the polls this time around. And setting aside the huge percentage of people for whom that's impossible or functionally impossible, the stated plan is to flood polling stations with ICE agents to intimidate non-white voters and reduce turnout among a strong Democratic demographic, right?
Yep.
So, like, Like, this is, they're doing all of this shit to disable Plan B.
Yeah. Speaking of which, the postal scheme isn't going to be the last pile of shit in our house of democracy. Trump sent federal cheaters from the DOJ to monitor the primary polls and examine the voting machines in Wyoming last week. Very clearly a test run for other places. And even the Republican governor of Wyoming, I didn't even need to tell you Republican, the governor of Wyoming knew that was obviously cheating, and he launched an investigation into this.
Now, somebody left this stack on top of the machine that says 100,000 votes for Trump.
But that, let me get a Sharpie.
God,
I meant a V. It's hard because the circle has to touch, or people think it's low.
Still not clear. Okay, so now those 23 states and D.C. that support democracy are going to file their response to John Sauer this week, and the Supreme Court is going to noodle on it. So no, it's no hurry. It's not a big deal. Nothing's coming up. Meanwhile, states are already sending out ballots, at least two states, or at least some states are printing ballots to get ready if they haven't already sent them out. And what they printed might not have, you know, special envelopes that display a paint swatch of your skin color or whatever's being demanded. So we'll see how that goes. But just remember, neither snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor gloom of night, but sometimes a little McCarthyism, stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. It's going to be fine. I think we have a chance at doing some good stuff in the midterms, but we shouldn't have to jump all these crazy hurdles. It's ridiculous. There needs to be prosecutions for this nonsense. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor, Mint Mobile.
Okay, but what if someone wants me to do something that I don't want to do?
Oh, well, that's their problem.
Their problem. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Hey, fellas. What you doing?
Heath is just teaching me how to live as free as he does. Did you know that you can wake up whenever you want?
It's true. You can. You just do it.
What if you have a job that starts early?
Oh, get a new job.
Get a new job. See, he's got answers for everything. It's great.
And you've got to take advantage of the Mint Mobile summer sale.
What's the Mint Mobile summer sale?
Great question. Right now, all of Mint's plans are $15 a month, even the unlimited plan. So free yourself from big wireless and their gimmicks and gotchas and switch to Mint for high-speed data and coverage on the T-Mobile 5G network.
Well, that sounds great.
It is. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can even bring your current phone and your number.
But have you actually tried it?
I sure have. I switched to Mint Mobile when they became a sponsor. I love that I get the same great service while saving hundreds on my phone bill. That's why I, Heath Enright, personally endorse Mint Mobile.
All right, Heath, I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/skeptocrat. That's mintmobile.com/skeptocrat. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/skeptocrat. That's it. There's no catch. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12 months. Plan required. $15 per month equivalent. Taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Greater than 50 gigabytes may slow when network is busy. Includes up to 20 gigabyte hotspot. Capable device required. Availability, speed, and coverage varies. See mintmobile.com.
Oh, what about my kid? Don't I have to wake up early with him?
He's probably fine.
Right.
Yep.
Probably fine. We're back. Next up in headlines in a different kind of Poodle Club news. Every couple of years, the universe gives us here at Puzzle and a Thunderstorm LLC a gift. That time Ben Shapiro's wife told him a wet vagina was a disease. The Four Seasons landscaping announcement.
This right here?
Yep. Everything that youth pastor Matt Powell ever did.
Mm-hmm. Race car bed.
Yep, race car bed. Yep. These shining lights make it all worthwhile. And I would argue that one of those beacons for us in the last couple of years has been FBI Director Cash Patel,
whose public Poodle Club, I got the thing at the beginning. Nice.
Whose public and private shenanigans have brought his organization so low that this week they've had to alter their hiring standards a bit. So we're going to talk about it.
Okay, everybody gets three hangover wake-ups by a SWAT team breaching your door each month. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to hire anybody otherwise. It's untenable.
Yeah, no, I heard that they were lowering their hiring standards, which is mostly newsworthy in the sense that there's apparently a lower standard than willing to work for Cash Patel.
There is. Yeah. There is, it turns out. Right. So, for those of you unaware, in the past, the FBI has had its own set of standards over and above the ones generally required to work for the government. Those standards have excluded applicants who admitted to hiring sex workers, stealing from an employer, or engaging in acts of bestiality.
It's a weird list, but okay.
According to CBS News... those are no longer deal breakers because,
great.
Well, first the Trump administration fired a bunch of people for looking into the crimes that they were doing, and then they hired Dark Universe Pancakes Heath as the FBI director. So yeah, you can fuck a dog or two, I guess.
Cash Patel could never hang with Pancakes Heath. That's crazy.
Even in a dark universe.
Okay, he sucks at being bad at drinking.
I know I should be focused on Special Agent Pigfucker and that aspect of this and all that, but I'm hung up on the stealing from an employer stipulation, right? Like, so I'm trying to figure out, are they trying to exclude all but the most ethical people who would have never dream of taking paper towels that don't belong to them, or the idiots that would admit to stealing from an employer on a job application?
Yeah. Pin in that.
Yeah, there's a dumb reason for that.
Yeah. So the actual new standards themselves are bizarre. For example, a person who stole from an employer is not automatically disqualified as long as the incident occurred more than 3 years ago.
Oh, cool. Well, now they got it out of their system.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The FBI is now willing to consider candidates who have solicited sex workers, provided that the solicitation did not occur three or more times and not take place within 10 years of the application date.
Why does that one matter at all? Whatever.
Why? Why?
Yeah, right.
And for candidates who have engaged in bestiality or animal cruelty, it's all good as long as the incidents occurred before the applicant was 18 years old.
Yeah. Okay. So we don't want FBI agents with a problematic age dynamic while they're fucking a goat. So like, I think I've made the perfect rule. This is a good balance.
They actually have everybody gets 3 rule for sex workers.
You hire a hooker. Obviously, everybody does that one time.
You hire 2 hookers.
You hire her again because you didn't feel like you gave your best performance.
Hire 4 times, shame on me. That's
and then
the
you hire
rule.
A third different sex worker because maybe it was her fault the first 2 times. We've all been there. I'm getting
now I can't be an FBI agent. You say, where can I be an agent?
What do you mean the treasury? So one more thing about this story. Like my co-host, you might wonder why people would admit to fucking a sheep in a job interview. And I get it. Hard to come up with stuff during icebreakers. It just comes out of you.
How many windows? I fucked a sheep once.
You want to hear about that? But no, it is because candidates for the FBI have to go under a lie detector test.
Oh,
which asks these questions and which I will remind you is bullshit. Right.
You answer that while wearing this mood ring.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
But these applicants are all like, fuck, that's a magic machine. I have to tell the truth about the sheep. Quick side note on the story. Cash.
Did you have a side note, Heath? I noticed
way to the side. I'm going a tangent angle. Side note, Cash's country singer girlfriend, Alexis, has filed multiple lawsuits against people who called her a honeypot operation for a foreign spy agency. She's already lost one of those suits. And okay, here's my take. I don't have any direct evidence that she's a spy, but there's no fucking way she actually likes the human being named Cash Patel. There's no way.
Right. Yeah.
So at minimum, she's a honeypot for like her own spy agency, just like as a person. And now she gets to like fly around on private jets and make some headlines and sing the national anthem at Freedom 250, kind of famous now.
What a gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she's got that going. And then somebody calls her a honeypot for Mossad. So she was like, fuck, you're ruining my different honeypot. And she had to sue people in order to keep it going with Cash to like protest enough, you know? Pretty sure that what I just said is a more accurate description than Cash has a legitimate girlfriend. That's all I'm saying. And just to recap, he's hiring youthful fuckers of goats only. Only tween, kids who fucked goats.
Yes, only tween goat fuckers. So yeah, if anyone out there is running an animal porn ring and you're worried about the FBI busting down your door, the good news is your arresting agent may be way more sympathetic than they used to be.
And listeners, if you're tempted to write in and tell Eli that it's totally legal to film animals fucking, we as a company have decided it's best he not know that. So I had to add this in post. Don't.
Oh, and we already have the video equipment, guys. Guys, this is huge.
And in, I thought fighting trolls would be cooler news. As much as the Trump administration loves Russian trolls influencing American politics through thinly veiled disinformation campaigns on social media, they are taking jobs away from hardworking Americans. So they decided to hire their own Twitter trolls to promote their policies and, of course, attack their enemies online. So now,
good protectionism. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. As near as we can tell, because they're not admitting to any of this shit and nothing's in the public record except by accident, our tax dollars are being used to hire right-wing social media influencers to pretend to spontaneously agree with Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth.
Right. And if you're wondering how this is different than the right-wing think tanks and billionaires who've been funding right-wing influencers for years, well, now the government is in the middle.
Well, it's we're paying for it.
The American government. So now Tim Pool and Dave Rubin can get paid in dollars instead of rubles. That's nice for them.
It's convenient.
Also, Putin could probably use a little money right now. So it's nice that we took over their salaries, give Putin a little more cap space to make.
Yeah, exactly. And we did it for third day draft picks. It's easy. We can afford it. And look, I have to admit going into this that we have no idea if there's precedent for this sort of thing. Right. And if I had to guess, I would say yes. That my guess is that going back as far as Obama, the Pentagon has probably been using fake social media accounts or paid social media operatives to steer public conversation and other nefarious shit. They're the Pentagon, stuff, right? Yeah. They do nefarious shit. That's their thing. But under normal circumstances, it doesn't spill out into public view. But under Hegseth's leadership, everything is maximally stupid. So while we don't know the scale of the troll army or how much they're getting paid or what they're getting paid to do exactly, we can confirm that they exist and they're doing shit. And we even know who a few of the operatives are.
Spoiler alert. It's everyone we knew was already being paid by the Russian oligarchs. But
really? Yes.
Okay. Whoever it is, they're not doing amazing at their job right now.
No.
Pete Hegseth is setting records for worst approval rating in the history of his job. Okay. Let me be fair. He is competing with extremely likable, rizful guys like Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, but still.
Yeah.
Point being, Pete's tiny approval rating, it's being juiced. That's a juiced number by a propaganda squad.
Sure is. Yeah. And the way that we know this is fucking hilarious. Okay. So it starts with this woman named Jenica Pounds, who has been secretly working for Hegseth's troll army since May. She built a modest online following under the online persona of Data Republican. Then she applied for and received a Pentagon press pass under Hegseth's new propaganda standards. From there, she secretly took a secret fucking job that may or may not involve attacking Hegseth's enemies from her online platform. So just consider that for a second. Well, yeah, it obviously fucking does. A person simultaneously holding a Pentagon press pass and secretly working as a Pentagon disinformation agent.
I mean, one has to presume they are Pentagon information agents to be surprised by that. But I can see how it would be surprising in an old-fashioned way, right?
Well, they were paying.
Yeah, like time travelers seeing an elevator, right? Like, oh, okay.
Right, yeah, there you go.
This is The Departed. This is Matt Damon getting tasked with catching Matt Damon in The Cops.
Right. But that all came to light because Jenica Pounds is a fucking idiot. So when Sarah Rogers, that's Trump's nominee to head the U.S. Agency for Global Media, came to her with some documents that the administration wanted to have leaked, she mistook it for a sting and publicly accused Rogers of trying to entrap her into committing treason.
She didn't understand how it fucking works. It's
right. Yeah, because Trump pretends publicly that he's anti-leak, right? And she's too dumb to just look at the documents, realize they're flattering to the administration, but still classified and say, oh, this is how they get those out. Because the lady with the Pentagon press pass doesn't even know the basic concept of how reporting works.
Okay. Being a double agent is hard. Okay, it's like, which agent do I alternate days? I need like a, I need a planner.
Fuck, was I tweeting? And I caught myself.
Caught herself. She did catch herself though, because like in their efforts to defend Rogers, who's again still up for confirmation for this shit, the Pentagon had to eventually admit that Pounds was an undisclosed Pentagon employee. And the fact that she hadn't disclosed that fact led to a bunch of anger among her followers, because it's the most blatant possible conflict of interest. But many right-wing influencers were quick to come to her defense. For example, retired Army Colonel Thomas Anderson, whose Cynical Publius blog has over 250,000 Twitter followers, chimed in to point out that often special government employees that work for the Pentagon aren't allowed to disclose their jobs because they're so super secret. Huh. And then a bunch of his followers were like, hey, man, are you also part of the Pentagon secret troll army? He's like, no comment. No fucking comment.
Third guy chimes in. Lots of people say no comment. I mean, no comment.
No comment. Well, yeah, because then like a whistleblower talking to the Washington Post was like, oh, yeah, no, that dude's totally a fucking thing. And by the way, you can verify that by checking publicly available email list that they forgot to take him off of, where it shows that he is assigned to the office of a dude whose honest to God name is Anthony Tata.
Okay, Craig, you're going to be reporting to Tony Tata's. Angela, you're going to be reporting to Poops Pooperson. The simulation machine is broken, it's like in Vanilla even, Sky. Why won't you people escape?
Sorry, your name's Jenica Pounds, like the porn star? Like porn star that I know named Jenica? No, different one? Okay, no. Go ahead.
And
the Pounds came over on the Mayflower.
You're reporting to Poops Peterson also.
And of course, like when you look back over the work of the people who have been exposed in this thing, it's all like, man, we sure are lucky to have Pete Hegseth's sycophancy, all of it. Right. So our tax dollars are paying Pete Hegseth's secret employees to compliment him in public. And it's not just on Twitter and True Social. The fucking that Anderson guy, he got a letter published in like a letter to the editor in The Washington Post defending Hegseth's anti-education policies without ever disclosing that he was on Hegseth's payroll when he wrote the fucking thing.
And that is why I never say anything nice about you guys. OK, I don't want people to think that I'm on the take.
Right. No,
just
your
be
integrity.
Honest and like hire Flavor Flav to stand behind you and tweet like, yeah.
That would be awesome. I would support that. I'll pay for my tax dollars.
Man. Just be honest.
Versus the Iran war. You guys can do so much fun stuff and not the Iran war. And I'll be like, let them have it.
Right, right. So yeah, like I said, we don't know the extent of this shit, but we know what's happening. We know that the Pentagon is hiring an unknown number of trolls to try to sell its policies as though they're organic. So at this point, Hegseth's military is resorting to the strategy most famously employed for the Fire Festival, which honestly explains a lot about the living conditions aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln, if you think about it.
Sure does. And in DUI hire news, Pete Hegseth is an idiot. And I'm going to need a big public apology from Princeton and Harvard. Apparently, right? He went to both of those places. Yeah, which is
really?
Crazy to me. Yeah. They should also mention so many other evil people at Princeton and Harvard. It's going to be a long press conference, bunch of begats like the Old Testament, but it needs to happen. But today, we're going to focus on Pete, who cannot get a single win at anything.
No.
Despite having the propaganda squad we just mentioned, and also having control of the most powerful military ever assembled. I'm sure he thinks the military coup that took over Venezuela and took over their oil industry is a win, and the plan by the U.S. government to have a communist imperialist oil company is a win.
Yeah, what the fuck?
But we're not counting that. And even if we did, Pete texted classified information on a Signal chat that accidentally included Jeffrey Goldberg, editor-in-chief of The Atlantic. Pete gave a yelly speech while the Easter Bunny walked around behind him.
I had forgotten about that.
One of my favorites. He mixed up the left-right pattern of a serpentine. It's a confusing pattern. He executed people on boats. Feel like we should still be talking about that. We're not.
That
enough.
One's less fun than the Easter Bunny.
Okay. He authorized a military flyby for Kid Rock.
Yeah.
He's being led around by a Pentagon guy who's known as Ricky Rasputin at the Pentagon, and Pete's entire department is quitting amid a ridiculous witch hunt using polygraphs. Also, we've spent hundreds of billions of dollars while losing a war against mostly a swarm of helicopter toys from Toys R Us. So
yeah,
it's not going great.
And those guys always sold better than us at Christmas. And that honestly hurts more than the war crimes. Can I
Doesn't
say
it?
Yeah.
I remember the demos department bringing us their numbers right before Christmas and asking us to step up our game, and then coming back 4 days after Christmas once they'd processed all the returns and told us never mind.
We owe a lot of money at
Meh. It's a good thing our toys over at our company never got returned. People loved them. They loved them. And they kept. No one ever said anything before the buying
nobody
process.
Nobody was like, this is poison. What? You take it.
Hey. Hey.
You shut up. Shut your mouth.
So here's the latest on the personnel situation at the Department of Defense. Pete made up a new name for that, but that's nothing. You can't just do that.
You get to just rename the government.
Thanks to his purges and all the quitting, the Army has no Senate-confirmed top general, no general in charge of operations, no commander for the entire region of Europe, nothing going on there, and no secretary of the Army. That last position was held by Dan Driscoll. They have an acting one now. But Driscoll walked into the White House last week, explained how Pete Hegseth is incredibly stupid and incompetent, and Dan Driscoll quit the job. And now a very convenient group of Republicans are calling for Hegseth to be fired. That includes Senator Thom Thillis, who's conveniently not running for re-election. Thom voted to confirm Hegseth, by the way. Same goes for several other senators who voted to confirm Hegseth because they're fucking cowards. But now with the midterms coming up, because they're cowards in a new direction now, they're trying to distance themselves from Trump, and they're this part's fun. They're giving definite maybes in their RSVP for Trump's very sad midterm gala party for himself.
You guys want to be tied to me even more in the midterms? Come on, guys.
Republicans are going to abandon Trump, everybody. Just as soon as Lucy lets us get a good kick on that football, y'all, you'll see. She's
You're actually being insufficiently cynical, Eli. They'll abandon him the absolute nanosecond that it is in their political interest to do so.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, which might be when Lucy lets us kick the football.
Yeah,
but still.
Very possible. It's so good. They keep catching these Republicans being like, hey, you going to the big party? And they're like, I have a dentist.
Is this the one that texts you all the time?
I have to
I
be
don't
with
like
my constituency now.
How many texts it sends?
I have pink eye. Yeah. So you just got pink eye? I did this. You can see it.
Just now.
You can see it.
I got it from John Fetterman.
Okay, so you might be thinking to yourself at this moment, hey, Heath, did you mention a Rasputin situation at the Pentagon? And yes, I did. The guy known as Ricky Rasputin is Ricky Berea, and he's the chief of staff for Pete. Ricky's a rare holdover from the Biden administration, actually, and that's why Trump initially blocked Berea from getting that promotion to become the chief of staff for Pete. But apparently Pete really likes Ricky, so it worked. Or Ricky has some leverage, as Rasputins are wont to have. So here's the rumor. This is a rumor, and this originally came from the New York Post, so keep that in mind when you're calibrating. According to two different sources from inside the Pentagon, Ricky Rasputin told each of them that he's secretly gone out drinking with Hegseth in D.C. Also, Ricky said they might have polished off 3 bottles of Macallan Scotch during a flight one time, him and Pete on a flight. That's despite Pete's solemn vow during his confirmation hearing that he would never drink anymore if he's confirmed. Never.
Hey, Pete, what happens with the drinking if you're not confirmed?
That's a great question, Senator. I'll fucking die soon. Is what's going to happen.
So weird to have a hedge on that. Couple more details on the rumor. Ricky told both sources that he and Pete would put on disguises to make this happen, like a hat and sunglasses.
And sneaky bastards.
They'd use the hat and sunglasses to sneak past Pentagon security detail and go out to the bar. The sources also mentioned that Berea's rumor was somewhat widely spread within Pentagon ranks and known by some other people in the building. But here's the catch. When that story got reported, the claim from Berea was that he was doing a secret mole hunt, and Pentagon spokespeople said the same thing. So they're claiming the stories about Pete going out drinking were lies, and Ricky was trying to find leakers in the Pentagon. So Ricky told more than one person a secret lie. That yeah, was
right,
the plan.
Right,
yeah. I was testing you, and you pass-failed. What am I pretending I think?
Well, okay, but here's
I'm
the thing,
so drunk right now.
I feel like a single evening spent drinking with Pete Hegseth provides you way better blackmail than I spent an evening drinking with Pete Hegseth. Really, right? Like, one bottle in, he's going to tell you about the coolest sculptures he made from the remains of Iraqi civilians or some
You're
shit.
Real close, 100%. Yeah. So, okay, none of that makes any sense. Here's
hey,
my
you
here's
wanna
my
know
theory.
Who at the FBI fucked a dog? Because I have a list.
Yeah, right.
Right. I got a list. So okay. My phone.
So here's my theory on all this. And I'm just guessing. This is my guessing theory. I'm guessing and I'm hoping and I'm manifesting. Ricky Berea is running a long con to fuck with Pete Hegseth. And to back up my theory that I'm guessing at, we learned last week that Ricky Berea was the person who was actually doing the typing when Hegseth revealed classified information in the signal chat with Jeffrey Goldberg. Like, you remember the details of impending missile strikes along with
the
emojis of fireballs and flexed biceps? Yeah.
Sorry, he dictated the emojis?
Well,
or was
know,
he just
Pete was
flexing?
Like, the fire,
explosion.
fire. Hold on, give me a second.
Explosion.
Biceps.
Explosion. Explosion.
I do know what pull-ups are.
Shows me mine's too cracked.
So... Ah. I'll be honest, it seems like Ricky's
can't
not
plug it in.
Ricky's not running his con especially well, but Pete's even dumber, so the con keeps working. That's my theory. And now Ricky's the chief of staff for the head of the Pentagon, just like weeping with laughter in private that it keeps working. Also, I could not believe this when I heard it. Pete Hegseth is considering a presidential run in 2028.
Please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please.
Yeah, that would be just... So, Ricky...
Think of the sketches.
Yes, Ricky, first of all, think of the sketches. That's the most important thing. So
obviously.
If you are doing this long con, just hold all those secrets that you got just for a little bit. Wait for the sketches and then wait for the perfect moment. Just give us a chance. We want to do sketches.
Yes, we do. Okay, here's the thing. With the hat and the sunglasses... That means that they were stumbling out of the side door, right, to go drinking. And everyone in Secret Service is obviously aware that they're alcoholics who have to do that. And they were like,
Ricky, Pete, we can see you're. No.
They have to pretend. Yeah, they have to pretend not to see him, right?
I'm
right.
Because
they'll get fired.
What?
Yeah.
I'm Dan Tatas.
No. Can't, I'm Tony Dan Tatas. What are you talking about?
Fuck. No, Dan, you can't see me. I'm Dan Tatas. Check Twitter. I'm Dan Tata. And in worthy of lionization news, pretty much every time you've heard about a frivolous lawsuit, it's because a giant company is using PR to try to cheat someone out of money that they very much owe them. The McDonald's hot coffee lawsuit, the GPS walking suit, and of course, the Beer Vision suit, etc. But
okay, you've come around on the McDonald's hot coffee thing?
No, I haven't, but it's people have lost their humor about it, and so they don't enjoy that. I was a fun bit, and I've had like four people be like, she was really hurt, and I'm like, yeah, I'm a comedian doing jokes
crazy
on a fake show. It's a microphone and a camera.
People don't usually mistake jokes for serious. That's weird.
I know. You would hope, but now we can't have nice things anymore. I can't do certain voices.
We're pretending that that was a joke. Okay, all right.
What did you... Okay, fuck you. I'm not copying on you.
I was yes-anding. I'm pretending it was a joke the whole time. I'm with you.
Now I feel like I should make my arguments again so that the cool members of our audience who do think that old ladies should get third degree burns.
Lava Emporium is
such
safe.
A good argument. It's such a good argument. I won so hard. All the time, always did. Anyways,
that lady deserved to get burned. Is what
that lady deserved to get burned? Official position of
public. We don't know. There's a good shot that she's like a Trump voter type.
Yeah, exactly. Well, she's
okay.
Dead now,
well, now, but... now I'm on board too.
There you go. Maybe. Everybody wins. But sometimes there's a lawsuit that comes around that really is an incredibly stupid waste of everyone's time. And perhaps the contender for that suit last year was a lawsuit from musician Lebo M. author of the opening lyrics of The Lion King's Circle of Life, who sued a comedian for making fun of his lion song on a podcast for $27 million.
Oh.
What?
I can assure you, Mr. M., that making fun of shit on podcasts is worth a lot less than $27 million.
Right. So, as you probably heard by now, the opening lyrics to The Circle of Life roughly translate to, look, it's a lion, there is a lion.
Okay, I had not heard that, and that's fucking amazing.
Yeah. Several
it's like the chant in yes. In Monty Python. Yeah.
Exactly. Several comedians have done bits about it, including fellow Zimbabwean comedian Lorne Modjanasi. Now, in Lebo M's defense, there is significance to the lions spiritually and culturally in South African tradition. So saying that the song is literally just about pointing out a lion, it's not true. It would kind of like be saying that when someone says the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they were just talking about a father, a son, and a ghost walking all along together down the road. But again, it's a joke.
Yeah, none of that matters. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nobody cares. And also, you can go ahead and stop feeling any sympathy for Lebo M, because in retaliation for Learn More making that joke, Lebo M sued him for $27 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, just apropos of nothing, I do have a living relative named Robert E. Lee, but my neck is pink. It's pink. That's a fact. I would like my $27 million, please.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
False.
Look, it's a lawsuit. Foxworthy there is bit. A lawsuit. Come at me, motherfucker. Come
exactly.
On.
Yes.
Come
exactly. on. Exactly. So we've actually got some good news about this story. That lawsuit was dismissed, and Lebo is now having to pay Learn More's legal fees thanks to California's robust anti-slap laws. So the stupidity in this case is actually being punished. That nice. Said, Lebo, I want to throw you a little bone here. I am pretty sure, just statistically, that I have said way worse about The Lion King that is not legally defensible in the last 11 years we've been doing this podcast. So, look, if you're listening, stay tuned. If you don't have a payday waiting already, it's coming. Like me to The Lion King.
Yeah, I know the scene you're talking about. When she lays back in the grass.
Yeah, that's right.
And finally tonight, in hate bit news.
Fantastic.
Thank you. As a humanist, I know where my outrage priorities lie with the Trump administration, right? First and foremost, the immigrant victims of his international gulag archipelago, then the people dying in his wars of vanity, both declared and otherwise, then all the kids he raped and all the kids raped by the people his Justice Department is still protecting, and on, all the way down to the people who have to get the ketchup stains out of the walls. And on the grand scale of human suffering, I should probably portion out my anger in such a way that I don't have anywhere near as much as I do left over to dedicate to the series of mini game abominations that the Trump administration is using to promote their policies on a new website called arcade.gov. But as Eli says in the police report, knowing and doing are different things, and I'm fucking livid.
They didn't even bother with a Frogger clone, everybody, and that one writes itself.
Yeah, great. Right? He walks out on Fifth Avenue, and Luigi shoots him. Great game. Great game. Yeah. It's fun. Got the crossover, the tie-in with the Mario universe, because the name Luigi.
Yeah.
Also, it's fun. Maga Fraga. There you go. Make that
there
game.
There you go.
It's right built
You're
in.
Done. Yeah. So yeah, so the White House launched this goddamn travesty to gaming last week, and it features five uninspired 8-bit style ripoffs of popular games. And when I read about this and assured myself that it was neither satire nor AI bullshit, I genuinely thought that my story was going to be about how horrifying and stupid it is to launder fascism through mini games. But for the purposes of journalistic integrity, I took it upon myself to play those games. And now my story has to be about how unbelievably bad they are.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I did not think that this was going to be Noah's issues with the game, but I'm listening.
Nor did I, man. Nor did I. So I started watching a playthrough at first thinking that would be enough. And I watched it. I'm like, that can't be. This guy must just be bad at this game. But no, they're this bad. Okay. So if you go to the homepage, and I wouldn't recommend it, I did it for you, you're given 5 game options with the promise of a 6th game coming soon. We start with Flappy Bill. That is a Flappy Bird ripoff in which a bald eagle attempts to fly a bill down the National Mall, which makes no fucking sense because it's not like the two houses of Congress sit at either end of the National Mall, right? Well, one end is the Capitol
they're
building.
They're not aware of that fact.
And the other is the Lincoln Memorial.
Right.
So like either this bill originated at the Lincoln Memorial and is being flown to the Capitol building for consideration, or this eagle has stolen legislation and he's trying to escape. Either way, the fact that it's filled with unnecessary obstacles and the game is unending, so there's no way for the legislation to actually pass, does make it a pretty solid unwitting metaphor for the present state of Congress.
Yeah. So no exaggeration. Even if Democrats take the Senate, they'd have to blow up the filibuster to pass a good deal of Abraham Lincoln's DEI agenda from the 1800s. Yes. That's real.
Right. And then it would get vetoed. Yeah. So, yeah. But when you get bored by Flappy Bill, and trust me, that'll take seconds, you can move on to Build the Wall, which is exactly Tetris, except... Here's the problem. In Tetris, the whole point is to not build a wall, right?
Except they're just incredibly stupid. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You're just in Tetris. You're trying to perpetually get rid of a wall that some other asshole seems to be trying to build who is way too stingy with the long pieces. It doesn't work for the metaphor for the wall to disappear as you're building it. So when you complete a line in this version of Tetris, nothing happens.
Amazing.
When you fill the board up, the game just ends and it tells you what level you are on. What's the point? Well, I think it's just to pwn libs by depicting immigrants from the southern border as zombies.
Zombies just walking through the gaps in the wall. Why would you have S shapes? That doesn't make any sense. I'm so easily walking. Anyway, let's go take their jobs. Let's take the jobs of the white people.
They're bad at them.
Okay, on the plus side, I don't know if you've seen this update, No Illusions.
But I did, yeah.
Based on their social media posts, it really looks like the Tetris company is going to sue the U.S. government over this, which means that your Republican uncle is going to start calling it Freedom Blocks or something. So, yes. You know,
right.
To that.
Right. I don't think they can get away with it because like the so many lines ripoffs, not yeah. disappearing doesn't changes the game so much, but who the fuck knows? All right. So next we've got the closest thing they get to not sucking. This is a game called Rio Run. This is the infamous Nokia time waster snake. Yes, I know the game predates Nokia phones and that mechanic was first introduced in the 1976 game Blockade. Of course, I fucking know that. but it's just Snake, except that you're a bald dude in a suit. And the thing that you're picking up along the way is immigrants. As you pass over this ethnically diverse assortment, their clothes change to orange jumpsuits and they fall in line behind you. And of course, the grid is way too big to be fun and it escalates too slowly. So by the time it gets challenging, you're already bored to tears by it.
Yeah. Say what you will about the Nazis, but at least they didn't make a snake game about Auschwitz.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Ice Climbers was right there. You could make
there
you go.
Obviously. Well done.
It's just a good game.
And the next two games are so bad that I'm not even going to pretend they're based on anything. They're the games that the companies would get if they wanted a branded game for the Atari 2600 back before anybody knew what video games were, right? They're both variations on Click the Thing.
Fascinating.
In one, you're trying to net items to pump up the value of your Trump savings account. And in the other, you're trying to weed out all the ultra processed foods and seed oils from school lunches.
Come on.
Yeah. And in that last one, like they don't come very often. So like long stretches of that game involve just doing literally nothing while you watch broccoli, eggs and carrots scroll by.
Okay. Here's what I love about the Make America Healthy Again game, which, by the way, is what it's called. Noah uses
yes.
proper name.
Mm-hmm.
The pixel art is so bad that you have no idea what anything is supposed to be. And they obviously realize that. So the food that is supposed to be bad just has a white outline
and it
so
glows.
You know
yes. yeah.
what to click.
Okay. Do I want the chunky style milk? Is that good in this game? Do you try to get that?
no shit. I clicked on so many things where it was like, no, man, that's healthy. And I'm like, are you sure? Because it has stink lines coming off of it. It's just, yes, right.
Do I want any of these bananas? They're all GMO, if you think about it.
Yeah, really. Yeah. So, yeah, so the games are offensive to immigrants and nutrition and the legislative process and all that, but they're also offensive to retro gaming. Okay, before I was a full-time podcaster, the company that Heath and I worked for spent way too much money on a website, and then they insisted at the last minute that it included mini games, even though that made no fucking sense. And those games were so hastily designed that when you successfully caught the thing you were supposed to catch in the game, a graphic would pop up that said, catched.
Catched.
Catched. And those games...
I didn't work for that company.
No, you didn't. And those games were better designed than this shit. So yes, I'm a lib and I'm offended, but I'm offended by the wrong fucking thing. Go back and offend me better, you lazy fucks.
All right, guys, here's my question. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. As you know, a lot of the time when a bad administration like Trump's introduces something, the next administration does not just eliminate that, right? Like, there have been a couple of things where the next administration just been like, no, we're not doing that anymore. We're reversing it. But the chances are they're not just going to abandon arcade.gov, which means that when President AOC wins, right, she's going to someone in her cabinet is going to, they're going to be like, hey, there's a racist.gov minigame site. We have to make a new arcade.gov.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Just fucking calling PBS. You guys got any extra fucking games from the app that we could borrow? We're going to give you money again. We're going to give you money again. You don't have to hang out with Eli at his college. Just please. Tetris, but it's black women. I don't know how to do our version, guys.
I look forward to the brainstorm, whatever they come up with.
Building up the community.
All right. On that note, we're going to close it out. Thanks to No Illusions. Thanks to Eli Bosnick. And thanks to all the listeners who liked us and followed us on all the various internets. Please keep doing that. Please keep listening. And please keep telling your friends about the show. That would be great. And if you find the naive stupidity of our giving away a free show business model to be oddly charming, you can send us gifts of money at patreon.com/skeptocrat. Just like Alex, Robert Garcia, Anita Squires. That's a cool name. Happy Bay Butcher, Liberal Anti-Theist, Raimundo Comas, Jersey Dan, cool, Chris Albright, your mom, and cool Nora. You all have the warmth. You have the warmth.
You guys get an extra second for a Hail Mary that really should not happen whatsoever. Now.
Yes,
if you ever
do.
Need one, you get an extra second on the clock.
Go blue. You also have, okay, you have the warmth. One of my favorite warmths is the nose of a dog after they've been asleep for a little bit. So you know how they have a cold nose sometimes while they're awake with the breathing, but it warms up sometimes when they've been asleep for a little bit. It's like that. Nice and warm.
All right, that's
and
pretty good. I wasn't sure where you were going anywhere, but no, that was worth going. I'm glad we went there
together.
Yeah,
when Heath was like, I'm going to list my favorite warmths, I was going to be like, Momo, look talking, buddy.
That was a very wholesome warmth.
It was such a wholesome warmth. I feel bad. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. One of my other favorites?
Hand between
step ahead of me. Step ahead of me. Do one other wholesome warmth. When you print out a sheet and the paper's a little bit warm, you know,
that's
right after
a good
it comes
one.
Out.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Sure.
And the kids these days don't understand with your lasers. You don't understand. Mm. Used to come out hot and fresh.
And whether or not you're feeling financially benevolent like those fine people. If you enjoyed our brand of whimsy and you'd like to hear more dick jokes free of charge, check out our brother and sister shows, Scathing Atheist, God Awful Movies, D&D Minus, and Citation Needed, available in all the podcast places. We just have one last thing. Let's compliment that pianist. Special thanks to Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. He's the creator of the virtuosic musical stylings you heard today, which were used with permission. You should definitely check them out using the links we'll provide or by Googling the only band called Evil Giraffes on Mars. Until next time, catchphrase sign off.
You know, Heath, I'd like to apologize because I feel like I've acted slightly resentful of you talking about the election here on our program, but I didn't realize the alternative was you ending headlines with,
okay.
I'd like to get back to candidate of the week or whatever.
Seven of diamonds. Democracy. Fuck you. God damn it.
The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and the Thunderstorm LLC, copyright 2026, all rights reserved.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.